You know, that's why we come. That's why we do, is to spread the news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Daniel did a wonderful job on Thursday night. I'll get right into this. We're going to have a speaker with us this morning, Nathan Richards. And I hope y'all support him, amen him, give him good reviews here. He's going to be with us today and share God's word. And Brother Philip's going to take a relaxation here this morning and listen. Okay. Well, again, it's good to see you. And I want to say that congratulations to Kyle, our youth director, and Miss Anna. They had a baby last week. And a little boy, his name is Reed David Snyder. So we're glad to announce that. Miss Anna had, she had struggled, I'm sure, with all of those months of pregnancy. So anyway, congratulations to them. And we want to also congratulate Kayla Dennison. She had the birth of a daughter. And Miss Kayla and her family usually sits back there at the back. And the baby's too young to bring to church right now, so she's sitting out right now. But just thank the Lord that he's blessing us with these children. Before I get too far, I'd like to say condolences to J.T. Steet. J.T. is Tom Cole's grandson, and J.T.'s mother, Nikki, went home to be with the Lord the other day, and I think that was on Thursday also. So we want to say condolences to J.T. and to Tom. That was his daughter. So y'all pray for that family. And, you know, Tom said that they had confirmation from Nikki that she was trusting the Lord, that she was on her way to heaven. And so that's a wonderful thing to know. It's a wonderful thing to know. It gives you great peace. The only other announcement that I've got is the Appalachian Fire Booth sign-up. There's still some slots on the sign-up back there in the foyer. And if any of y'all would like to work in those booths during the fair week, please sign up. I'm sure that there will be some more information about that as we get closer. So no more birthdays, no more anniversaries this week. So it's a quiet week as far as that's concerned. But anyway, let's just pray. Really? I've had my little list, you know, that I look at on the app, and okay, is anybody having a birthday this week we don't know about? Oh, Miss Sheila. Sheila, what'd you do? Ask them to hold your name off so we wouldn't know? Okay. Well, happy birthday to Sheila Aldridge this week, okay? Okay, and you were not on the app, so we'll have to see why you were not. Happy birthday to you this week, Sheila. Okay? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll welcome Brother Nathan on up then, okay? Father, we do thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we do praise you for the hands that went up in the service the other night. Lord, we just want to praise your name for who you are and for your blessings to all of us, Lord. And we just want to glorify your name. And that's why we're here. And we ask that you'll bless this service today. Bless Brother Nathan as he comes and teaches. And Lord, may you give us the word that you'd have us to have. Lord, we pray for this week. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. We pray for those, dear Lord, that still has sickness and things they're working through, and we pray that you'll bless them, be with them, and Lord, we pray that they'll soon be recovered and back on their feet again. Lord, we pray for those that are not here. Pray that you'll be with them, Lord, in their situation, whatever that might be. And then, Lord, we also want to pray for our pastor as he comes at 11. God, I pray that you'll bless his message today, that, Lord, if there's someone in this church building today, Lord, that don't know you, God, we pray today might be the day they would come to hear the word of God and to accept it and to come to you for salvation. Thank you again, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. I'll say that just being able to kind of be around and hear everyone kind of talking amongst each other and just seems like such a sweet class. You just hearing everybody checking on each other, how their week went and everything, and makes me think really the church as a whole. We've only been here for about a year and a half. We joined about a year and a half ago. So this gives me an opportunity to be with you all who I probably never would get to talk to or see during church. So it's a blessing to be here this morning. I will say this opportunity has two things for me. It's probably the largest Sunday school class I've had a chance to talk to. And it may also be the highest median age that I've got to talk to. Now, I'm talking about the men here, because I have no idea how old the ladies are. So the men here are definitely the highest median age. But now, I've of course, taught children. I've taught teens for years at our previous church. I had the opportunity to teach Brother Daniel's class. It's just good to have opportunity. So I appreciate this time. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Judges chapter number 13, Judges 13. And if you allow me, we'll go back a little bit to children's Sunday school class here and talk about a character you often hear and learn about as a child. We talk about Samson and the things that he did and that God did through him. But just to back up a little bit in way of intro, where we are in the book of Judges, and I won't take for granted that everyone knows, but just a good brief review where we're at here is coming out of the book of Joshua into the book of Judges. The children of Israel, led by Joshua, have come through. They've come to the promised land. They've started to battle. They've taken lands. They've taken what God has promised them. And God is blessing them. But as we come to the book of Judges, Joshua has died, other leaders have died, and those that remain begin to fall away from the Lord. And they do that first, you read several times, where they're talking about they failed to remove the inhabitants. They were supposed to go in and continue to take the land that God had promised them. But what they did was they didn't do that, began to live among them, began to marry those people, began to worship their gods, little g, and began to become a part of them, exactly what God didn't want for their life. So as a result, God begins to turn them over to captivity and eventually begins to raise up judges over time, people that God has raised up to deliver the Israelites. But time and time again, they fall away. Raises up another judge, and we see that multiple times here. And we see that there's seven times in the book of Judges where it says that the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. They continually, as we know, they continually went back to the way serving Balaam, doing all the different things they shouldn't have done. Twice in the book, and what happens to be the key verse, it says, in those days there was no king, and that they did what was right in their own eyes. We see that twice here in the book of Judges, which brings us to Samson. So this period of time in Judges takes place over about 325 years, but we're going to look here towards the end and the last judge that's mentioned in the book of Judges, which is Samson. And he's, again, the last one mentioned, and we see here, as a child, you know, we always see depictions of Samson. He's always visualized as a big, strong man who's able to, you know, do all these mighty things. But you really, when you look at the context of who he is and where he's at, he was really just a normal man, more than likely. I always like to say, and I've heard this before, we picture him as this big, strong man, but I like to visualize him as more of a Barney Fife type build, you know, just kind of a little scrawny guy, because you wonder, where does his strength come from? Because this guy doesn't look like someone who could do these things. Well, we know, obviously, where his strength came from. It came from the Lord, but now every time you think of Samson, you'll think of Barney Fife out there. But let's read here, Judges, just a way of intro still, Judges 13, verse number 1. And it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." So we see a couple of things here with Samson just from these few verses, just announcing his birth. You see a call that he was going to become, to be set apart. He was going to take the Nazarite vow. Now, the Nazarite vow, we find God giving the description of that in Numbers 6. He lays that out, and it could have been a man or a woman, it says, that is setting themselves apart for the service of God. And God lays out the instructions for that. And we see that Samson really is the only one from birth, from before birth, that God is saying they're going to be set apart. You have Samuel, you also have John the Baptist, who have similarities, but not to the extent of what we see here with Samson. But we have two things here we see with Samson. Again, the call, Samson was set apart, okay, for the Nazarite vow. The second thing was his purpose. The end of verse number 5, God gives what his purpose is going to be. He says, "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." Now, there's three things I'd like to draw from this and hopefully help us and be a benefit in our Christian life. But before we get that, there's the connection and the similarity here of Samson. He has that call in his life and he has that purpose. We see as Christians, if we turn to Romans, I'll turn over real quick. The benefit of marking your pages before you teach, you don't have to sit here and fiddle through it, but turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8, verse number 28 and 29, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Here we see that as Christians, we are called, we are set apart, we are predestined to be like Christ, and that's what Christ wants us to be. He says to be conformed like him. Well, how can we be conformed like him? Well, we see that in Romans 12, 2, and it says, "And be not conformed to the world, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We're able to conform to be like Christ, the main thing, by not conforming to this world, but by renewing our minds. And how do we renew our minds? How do we do that? Well, we do that by God's word. We do that by prayer. We do that by separating ourselves away from the things of this world unto the things of God. So like Samson here, we are set apart. We are set apart for a purpose. We have a calling in our life, something that God has for each of us to do. And we have to follow that. So we see there's three things I want to cover here to pull out that when studying that I've pulled out that we can learn from the life of Samson. And one of the first things is what looks good to us will lead us to destruction. We all know the story of Samson. We know the things that he did in his life, and even as his 20 years as a judge, he just over and over in his life continues to go against God, continues to disobey even the vow that he took or that was given to him from God. If you will, we'll go through a few of these. Samson's path to destruction here. We see the first one is in chapter 14, verse number 1. It's this first path here is desiring the Philistine woman, a woman of not his kind. It says, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. And his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among the people that thou shalt go to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson here says, and Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. We see his lust that he has for women, that those desires begins that path to destruction that he has. Judges 14, 8, 9, as they're going down to meet with the woman of the Philistines, we see that he encounters the lion. We've all heard these stories and how he rips it apart as a kid, as a goat. He just rips it. But as he comes back through, he sees the dead carcass there and the bees swarming and the honey, and he goes and he takes of it. Again, part of that Nazarite vow that he took, not to touch a dead body. But not only does he desecrate himself, but he does that to his parents as well by giving that honey to them. Again, just continuing to disobey the Lord. We see in verse number 10, so it says, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. Now that word feast there in Hebrew, actually the word is mishtah, which actually means to drink. So now we go, we have a long feast of 7 days, and we're drinking, and they're partying and doing these things, again, against what God has for his life. But he continues to make these decisions. We see multiple instances of Samson looking for revenge, Judges 14, 19. And this is after he presented the riddle to the men of the Philistines. And after they convince his wife to tell him what the answer is, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. So again, he was angry. He wanted revenge. And you see that again in the chapter number 15, verse 3 through 8. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go in the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn and the vineyards and the olives. He was living a life of revenge. He was doing, again, what he wanted to do. You see, again, chapter 16, verse 1, where he goes into the harlot. Then went Samson to Gaza and sent there, saw there a harlot and went in unto her. And then, of course, the story we all know, Judges 16, 4, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, who would end up being part of his downfall. So Samson continually drifts from God. He, over time, is making mistakes, going away from God, and ultimately getting to this point in chapter 16, verse number 20, where I believe is one of the saddest verses here, and it says in verse number 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson didn't realize how far he had went, how far away from the Lord he had went. And if we're not careful, we don't take care of those things in our own life, we'll get to a point where we've disregarded the things of God. We've not read like we should. We've not prayed like we should. We've intentionally done things that we shouldn't have, and we're so far removed from the presence of God that we don't even realize it. And we see in the James, if we look here, James chapter number 1, James 1 verses 7 through 8, I'm sorry, James 1, 13 through 15. Says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's exactly what Samson did in his life. He let those temptations root into sin, and then that sin ultimately destroyed his life. You know, our flesh is weak, is it not? We are very weak. I think about Jesus telling the disciples, Matthew 26, 41, says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have that desire a lot of times, again, to do what we want to do and to drift from God. I think the ladies sang, this a couple weeks ago, sang this, that song, Come Thou Fount, and it's got that word that I think of, and it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Don't we have that inside? We still got that old man, do we not? That old man inside of us that's pulling us away from the love of God. It's pulling us away, trying to get us to do the things that God would have us to do. And the good news is that God has given us that way of escape. Okay, if we go back to James, we have a way of escape that he has given us. James chapter number 4, verse 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We have that escape, and what is it? It's not to say to ourselves, I'm not going to do that anymore, or you know what, I'm not going to go there anymore, I'm not going to say that anymore. We can't do that because that's the beginning of trying to flee. It says first, says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's where we need to go first. Submit ourselves to God first, then flee from the devil, right? Submit ourselves to him, and then flee. We then see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13. It says here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's easy to live a life of sin, is it not? That's the easy life to take. It's just something that our flesh wants to do, but it's hard to live this Christian life. It's something we have to intentionally do. We have to make that effort. It says here that God is faithful. We know that, do we not? God is faithful to forgive us, but we have to be intentional about it and pull ourselves away from that sinful life through clinging to God. So it's the first thing we see here. We see that life of sin that pulls us away from what looks good to us. I'm sorry, that what looks good to us leads us to destruction. The second thing we see here in the life of Samson is God's long-suffering. We see that all over the Bible, of course, but specifically in the life of Samson, how long-suffering God is. And we looked earlier, we went through those verses, and you see all the things that Samson had done and where he went against God. We went against the Nazarite vow that he had taken. And those, but even in those times of disobedience, God still blessed. God still worked in his life. Several times it says God moved upon Samson. You see in verse chapter 14, verse 1, even when he lusted after the Philistine woman and wanted his parents to go to get her because that's who he wanted to marry, it says that the Lord used that as an occasion against the Philistines. Because why? Because his calling was to deliver them, begin to deliver them from the Philistines. So God has a calling for him, and he's going to accomplish it. Whether Samson was going to be a part of it or committed to it fully or not, God used that opportunity. God used that to do his will. We also see after he kills the thousand with the jawbone of the donkey there, he kills a thousand. He says that, you know, he basically takes credit for himself. But then what's he do? He thirsts. And he asked God, why are you going to leave me to thirst? But God provides. Chapter 15, verse 19 says God provided water when Samson was thirsty. So you see that God is long-suffering. I think about these times when Samson sinned against God. I think about the interaction here. between Delilah and between Samson. You see here as she's trying to get him to reveal where his strength lies. What is it that makes you strong? And you see the times here that she accuses him of mocking her, that it's this is where my strength lies. It says here that in verse number 6, and Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee," and this is chapter 16, "where thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And Samson said unto her, "If thou bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then I shall be weak." Okay? Then it says later in verse number 12, or verse number 11, he said, "If thou bind me with fast with with new ropes that were never occupied." Again, continuing after he tells her what it is and she does it to him, hoping to afflict him, she continues to do it. Then he gets closer to where his strength lies when he says in verse number 13 there, it says, "And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head," now we're getting close to where his strength comes from God. And he continues to do it even after she does everything he says. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I'm sure everyone thinks this, is why? How does he not understand it? How does he not see that when she's doing this and she's doing it to them, that something's wrong with this woman? Is it not? Something's, I should flee from this situation and go back to my God and get away from these things. And because she's trying to figure out where my strength comes from. And I was just trying to figure out, how does he not see this? But then it kind of, Lord, I guess, gave this to me. This thought came to my mind. It says, but he does see. He sees what he wants to see. He sees what looks right in his eyes. He's blinded to the fact that she's trying to do this to him because he's so far from God that he sees what he wants to see and doesn't see what the Lord wants for him. So during that time, God's long-suffering, allowing him all this time, he could have figured out, he could have fled, but God was giving him this time. God didn't turn a blind eye to the sin. God didn't turn a blind eye to Samson's sin. God doesn't turn a blind eye to our sin, okay? But he's long-suffering. If we go to Romans chapter number 2, Romans 2, and we see here in verse, we'll start verse number 3. The Bible says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them, which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" God's not turning a blind eye to sin. God is long-suffering, giving you the time that you need to repent, because that's what he wants you to do. God wants us to repent and turn back to him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but thou shalt come to repentance." God is long-suffering because he wants us to turn back to him. Thank God for God's long-suffering, right? Thank God for that. He's not waiting on us, but he's willing to show us grace when we deserve judgment. That's what God's doing. He's willing to do that. And that's what he did in Samson's life until the razor went to his head. So we see here God's long-suffering in Samson's life, God's long-suffering in our life. The third thing I have is Samson missed the full blessings of God. He missed the full blessings of God. So Samson was set apart. We talked about that earlier. He had a will for his life. He was supposed to begin to deliver them out of the hands of the Philistines. And we see that, so he had a will for Samson's life. God's going to accomplish his will. If we look at Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 through 10, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. Psalms 33, verse number 10. Here says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. God's going to accomplish his will. And as a Christian, I should want to be, one, in his will, but want to be used to accomplish his will. I should want to be that one that is so focused on the Lord and what his will is for my life and living in his will that when something is about to happen, God's about to move, that we should want to be a part of that moving of God, okay? And he wants to do more. He wants to do more in our life. While we're here in chapter 81, we see in chapter 81, verse number 13, several instances, and you could find more, where God wanted to do more. Chapter 81, verse number 13, he says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. If we go back to Isaiah chapter number 48, 17 through 19, he says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels, like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed before me. And then if we go back to Judges, we have a great example here of God wanted much more for the children of Israel. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says, and an angel of the Lord came upon Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as the thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. God wanted much more for the children of Israel. He had much more for them. And we look at Samson's life, and we see that the sin in his life and where it took him, the missed opportunities that Samson could have had as a judge to lead and overcome the Philistines, and what could have been with Samson had he followed the Lord more closely. But then I think about my own life. What blessings am I missing in my life, or have I missed because I failed to live for the Lord the way I should, or because my desires got in the way, the things that I wanted, the things that I thought looked good in my own life, those took precedent, but God had so much more for me. We don't want to miss God's best for us. We don't want to miss the blessings of God. So there's truths to be learned from this book. You see the repeating in Samson's life again, the cycle, the backsliding, the pulling away from God. If we go to 1 Corinthians, I'll just turn here real quickly. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, Paul's talking about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, but I believe we can apply this to this instance as well. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, it says, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, and were some of them, as is written, The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some people of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as God, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We look at these things and we can pull things from the life of Samson because it's there as an example to us. It's there to bring back to our memory, to look on these things and see, you know, what God did in Samson's life. Yes, there was the casual compromise where he continued to compromise himself. He continued to drift from God. But more than that, we look in the book, the life of Samson, and we see the greatness of God's mercy. We see his goodness. We see his long-suffering, how he continued to move in Samson's life, even through disobedience. We look, when you look back in Judges, and we, after his Samson's put into the grind mill, and he's a prisoner, his eyes have been gouged out, we still see the goodness of God, because what does Samson do? His hair begins to grow back, and he asks God, begs him to give him strength one more time. Okay? And what does he do? He puts his hands on the pillars, pushes away, kills more in that moment than he did in his entire life, including himself at that time. So we see that God's goodness in his life, that he still, at the end, everything that Samson had done, gave him the strength, gave him ultimately what he was called to do, which is to begin to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this time, Lord, that you've given us to fellowship around the Word of God, and, Lord, just this class, just a sweet class. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, just use these verses that we've read, this part of Samson's life, Lord, that we see how he disobeyed and the things that he did, but, Lord, you continue to work in his life, and, Lord, we can see as an example for us that to not let those temptations as they come to us, Lord, we know that will come to us, Lord, that you would help them not to take root as sin in our life and help us to go to you, Lord, submit to you, Lord, then flee from those things. Lord, just any aspect of our life, Lord, until you call us home, these things will continue in our life. We'll continue to be tempted of things, and our flesh, Lord, is obviously weak. Lord, we just need your help. We need you to continue to work in our lives, Lord, that we would be in your will, that we would understand the calling that you have for us in our lives, and that until the day you call us home, that we'll fulfill that, we'll do what you would have us to do, Lord, knowing, Lord, that when you're finished with us, you'll take us home. Lord, just help us each to go away from this, to apply it to our life, Lord, to see the goodness of God in our life, the long-suffering, Lord, and Lord, how you don't have to do that, Lord, but you're willing, Lord, that we would come to repentance and that we would come to you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness of those things and turn away from them. And Lord, just so thankful for the many times you've done that and what you've done for us through salvation, Lord, and how you continue to work on us. As you said, Lord, we're predestined to be like you. We want you to us to be as close to you as possible. We're thankful for salvation. Be with our pastor as he preaches and the service to follow. Be with us the rest of this day and week. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.